Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite new podcast, Flick Fix. I am your host, Leonard Cox, and on this podcast, I bring you the essential movie summaries, packed with all the key plot points, character insights, cinematic details, and big moments. This is where you get the full story in a quick, easy format, so you can stay in the loop with all the movie talk between your friends and family.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime, Flick.
So let's dive into today's movie, In Time, the cyber thriller directed and written by Andrew Niccol. And as always, I'll read the IMDb description summary. In the future where people stop aging at 25 but are engineered to live only one more year, having the means to buy your way out of the situation is a shot at immortal youth. Will Solace is accused of murder and on the run with a hostage. There's our summary of IMDb description. This movie was around a $40 million budget and ended up with a gross income of $170 million when it was released in 2011. This also received a 35% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. This is one of the cooler concepts and plot points I've ever come across in a feature film. Really unique way of essentially showing exactly what's happening in this planet where currency is becoming a serious problem amongst different time zones, quote-unquote, and inflation is a very real problem. And I think this does a really good job of showing that in the modern world of how currency is used and how if you run out of time, you die. And if you run out of money, you die. It's a race, essentially, to keep more time. And some people choose to use it differently than others. So let's find out how Will, our main character, decides to use his time. Okay, instead of starting with an opening scene summary, I think I'm going to give you a summary of the movie to help you better understand how this world is. So I'm going to go ahead and summarize this world in general. You're born with no time. You're essentially born up until the age of 25. You can be free of time. But once you reach 25 years old, your time starts, and you have 1 year on your ticking clock on your left wrist. There's also time zones. There's time zones just like cities where there's a wealthier time zone around time zone 4 to 1 is a very wealthy time zone. There's middle class time zones 8 to 4, and then anything below 8 is very low ghetto time zones. In these low time zones, which is where our main character Will Solace starts, most of them are living day to day. You see bodies drop constantly throughout the streets where people just run out of time. It is uncommon to see anyone with more than a month on their wrist. It's a low class ghetto area. So another reason I wanted to describe the setting of the movie is because everyone in this movie is either 25, it either looks 25 years old or younger. There's like no elder folks, because once you hit the 25 cutoff, your clock starts and then you start making time, not money, but time. So you're constantly you look that way for as long as you can be. Some people are immortal because they have millions of years to live, and some people only have that 1 year at 25 and then die as they can't find more work or it's a struggle. So it all comes down to zones. Okay, so now I feel like I can get into the movie. We open with our main character, Will, looking like he's living day to day, right, in a very rundown apartment in a very rundown city. We're introduced to his mother, again, who is 50 years old but has the appearance of 25. They're both struggling on cost, but the mother, she's definitely behind on loans, which are at like 30% interest rate. And it sounds like just the government in the city is just essentially just racking up interest prices. And so when people are taking out loans for time, they're getting more and more in debt. And so the mother and Will, want to go celebrate the 50th, she's going to turn 50 years old, the mother. So they're getting ready to go celebrate her time. So then Will separates to go to work, and we notice he's a very generous man. Yes, he has very little money, but he's willing to donate 5 minutes to a very young girl. There's these machines that you can donate with or to donate time to, like, give time to each other, you essentially touch each other's wrists, and it becomes, you know, transferred that way. He goes to work at a very rundown steam mill, where we learn that the price of coffee is getting risen from 3 to 4 minutes. So we're already seeing inflation almost every day, where everyone is very unhappy. And as we're walking to work with Will and his buddy, people are dying. People just drop dead because they run out of time. And they can see how much time they have, but people don't really want to donate. So Will's doing this like steam mill of a work job, very gray, very dull. He's long hours, he's exhausted, and when he's ready to check out and clock out, they don't give him as much as he is supposed to be given, because they say that there's, you know, the government, it's essentially all corporations are just screwing the lower class. That's really all you need to know. Will then enters a bar to go meet with his buddy. As he walks through to go say hi to some people, he's apparently a good poker player, but he doesn't play poker anymore because he just doesn't have the time to gamble. He goes over and talks to his buddy, and his buddy's just absolutely plastered, because his buddy says, this guy has been buying everyone shots and drinks. He's got a century of time. And so that's like very unheard of. So all these people are swarmed around him, essentially just trying to get his time and his money. And he just doesn't seem to care. And Will, being the nice guy that he is, essentially goes up to him and is like, hey, buddy, you got to keep that hidden around the ghetto, around here. People are going to kill you for that. You should not be doing that. And just as he says that, these big mafia guys called the Minutemen burst through the club door, and everyone runs away except for Will, his friend, and this rich guy. His friend grabs Will and says, dude, we got to get out of here. We can't help him now. And the rich guy stands there, and it looks like he's ready to just go fight and, you know, essentially get killed. It's almost like he wanted to get killed, which later we find out he does want to die. But the Will decides, a good man that he is, goes up and helps this rich guy escape from the ghetto, from the mafia. He runs him into a deserted building, and they essentially, you know, are peeking over their shoulders all the time because it feels like people are chasing after him. Because again, a century of time does not just come by somebody in this area ever. That's like unheard of. So Will is escorting this guy into the building. So they get to know each other. They escape the mafia. And Will essentially asks him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You're definitely not from around here. And then the rich guy, he says, no, I'm not. Do you want to know how old I am? And then he says, he's 105 years old. So he then says to Will, immortality is, I'm done. He wants essentially to die. He wanted the mafia to kill him. So he went all the way to the ghetto to do that. And Will says, you know, well, if I had your time, I would not be wasting it like this. So they get ready to go to sleep, and as they go to sleep, Will says, don't worry, I won't steal any of your time. And then the rich guy says, don't worry, I won't steal any of yours. And they chuckle, ha, ha, ha. We see the rich guy wake up first, and we see Will sleeping, and it looks like the rich guy is actually going to steal some of his time. And as we pan to the wrists of where the time is, we actually learn that he gives Will all of his time except for the last 1 minute, where he then goes, runs outside, the rich man, runs outside onto the bridge and waits for his clock to run out, and he dies. We see Will wake up and see him fall off the bridge and die, and then Will realizes that he has all of this time. He also notices that there's a camera watching him, and then Will immediately starts to run. Now note, this is a fun thing that they do in this movie. Running is a sign of being poor. Very interesting, because when you run, you have less time. You don't have time to kill, so you're running to get things. You eat quickly. Everything is fast in the ghetto, and as we learn, as we come throughout, you know, the film, we're gonna see that that's an obvious sign that you're from the ghetto. So Will, having 100 years on his wrist, trying to hide it from everybody without anyone knowing, goes over to his friend's house, because where else would you go, and says, this dude just gave me all of his, you know, the guy that we met at the bar, he just gave me all of his time. And so His friend's like, bro, you can't show anybody that. That's crazy. And then Will says, how long have we been friends? And he's like, about 10 years. So he donates 10 years to his friend, and his friend's very nice and happy. And then his friend says, honey, I'll be home in a little bit. And then he just goes and leaves. Then we go pan to, we cut to Will's mother taking out her another loan, paying off one of her loans. And in a very, obviously this is all in the ghetto. So she goes, pays off the loan, getting ready to meet Will for her birthday party. And she gets on the bus, and the bus driver, as she's about to scan, says 2 hours for the bus ride. It says 2 hours. And right before she scans it, she stops and pulls away. She's like, 2 hours? It was an hour yesterday. And he goes, yeah, sorry, lady. Times are changing. Prices went up. She says, well, I don't have enough to get home. It's a 2 hour walk. And then we look at her wrist and it says an hour and a half. And you would think the bus driver would help her out. And the bus driver says, well, you better run, because this is a world where you just die if you run out of time. So the bus driver won't let her on. None of the people are willing to give her any extra spare time. So she gets out of the bus and starts sprinting. She's sprinting to just try to get home, to get to Will, to see if she can get any money back. So then we cut to Will waiting at the bus stop for his mother. And his mother, obviously, is not on the bus. So Will immediately starts sprinting towards the left direction. Again, somehow he just knew that his mother was over there paying off one of her loans. And he sprints, she's sprinting towards each other, and they see each other from a block away. And the mother's wrist is counting down, 5, 4, they're sprinting, 3, sprinting. They almost touch hands, and right as they touch, she dies. She clocks out and dies right in Will's arms. Where now, I want you to remember that Will has 100 years now, super excited, and he's all excited about giving his mom to Greenwich, which is like the very nice time zone. And he has all this time to give, and unfortunately was not quick enough to get to his mother, and dies in his arms. Then we do a cut to the police, or time managers, essentially. They're the, well, we'll keep calling them the police for now. The chief police is Cillian Murphy, the guy from Oppenheimer, really cool actor, really just does a really good job in this movie. I think he's one of the only main guys who really does a good job in this, in my personal opinion. So anyways, we cut to Cillian Murphy's character, and we are seeing him examine the rich guy who went and killed himself off the bridge, suicidal. And he essentially is talking to his mates, and he's saying, I've been doing this for 50 years. This guy just wouldn't just kill himself. This ain't right. Someone with that amount of time in the ghetto definitely got killed. So we'll go check it out. We'll go figure it out. But he has a suspicion that that amount of time does not go unnoticed. So he feels confident that he's going to be able to find whoever took this rich guy's time. Now, no, obviously no one took his time. He gave his time to Will. So then Will, extremely upset and angry. Oh, I forgot to mention, during the conversation between the rich guy and Will, before the rich guy gave him all of the time, he essentially told Will about the corrupt system that they live in. Another reason why he wanted to kill himself was because all time is borrowed time, apparently. This is the slogan. So anything that's stolen had already been stolen before it. And so all the rich class essentially had just stolen time. And how are they living? They're essentially living by, like, they're living in fear, not wanting to die. And the ghetto people are, like, running here to here to not die. So the rich people have a shit ton of money, but they're spending it all to not die. And then the ghetto people are just trying to stay alive. It's a very interesting chemistry. So now Will has this new found thought that, like, the government is corrupt, everything's messed up, and there needs to be a better way to live. There just has to be a better way to live. He just watched his mother die in his arms, and it's just not right. So we learn that it costs money to go through time zones, and now that he has all this money, you know, he can afford going to the new time zones that he wants to go to. So he goes and travels to the high-end time zone that he wanted to go see with his mother. I think it's called New Guinea. He arrives in New Guinea, and he just immediately starts, you know, he starts spending it, but not out of, like, excitement. He spends it because he almost realizes that, like, time, it doesn't matter. He's excited about spending it, but again, his mother died, so he's got a clear alternative motive to go and do stuff. So Killian Murphy character, our police officer guy, he says, well, there's no money being spent in the ghetto. So he must have fled town, I mean, legally left town and gone somewhere else. So we learn that, you know, this guy's smart. The police officer's smart. And maybe, you know, he's going to have a trail, obviously. So then we cut to Will waking up in the top suite, eating a top breakfast. And the waitress, you know, he's very generous again. He gives the waitress a lot of, you know, time and money. And then he asks, you know, she recognizes because he's eating so fast that he's not from around here. And then so Will says, yeah, yeah. And then they learn about each other. And then he says, what's that building over there? And she says, the casino. The FBI now, well, the FBI, quote unquote, police, Killian Murphy's character now recognize and get facial recognition of Will fleeing the scene of that rich guy who killed himself. And they get recognition of, you know, him crossing a border. So they now know it's Will Solis doing this. Then Will gets into the casino. It cost a full 5 years to get in the casino, which is crazy money. And he goes immediately to the high-end gambling table. He meets this essentially like the richest guy on the planet at the casino, at the poker table, and he's playing poker with him. And they're betting a lot, almost all of his time. And actually we see that this guy, this super rich banker, can kind of tell that Will isn't from there, but he clearly has a lot of money, so he's talking to him as like almost a financial guy. Poker game happens. Long story short, Will ends up winning a crap ton of centuries. He just got a bunch of time. And then the bankers, the very rich guy, let's call him like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos kind of caliber, essentially invites Will to his house for another gambling night. And note that Will has found a love interest, this banker's daughter. And so the banker's daughter's like, you'll come over tomorrow and maybe help my daddy get some money back or whatever. So we then cut to Will going into the house and meeting all these crazy rich people. And, you know, note that all these people have security guards next to them. So all these wealthy people in this rich class world are paying a lot of money to stay alive and essentially hide in like houses. They're not going out. And we learn this because Will takes the daughter of the banker out in their backyard, and it's an ocean view. And we learn that they've never, you're not supposed to go swimming in the water. Why? Because it's dangerous. So we learn from the daughter that she's a little bit of a rebel herself. And she's like, you know, it's kind of funny how, you know, we never really live, even though we have all of this time. We just kind of hide underneath it. And so they go swimming and they, you know, break some rules. They go swimming and we learn that, you know, they have a chemistry, some type of love. Anyways, Killian Murphy's character, the police officer, tracks Will down, arrests him, and takes all of his time from this mansion. Takes all of his time down to 2 hours, because 2 hours is how long it takes him to get to court, essentially, and, you know, go through trial. And in this time, Will is able to grab a gun, shoot the bodyguards, and steal the daughter of the banker as a hostage. And they drive away to the ghetto border. Note that the daughter is not happy about this, and Will is asking for her to donate time. Again, she's probably got decades on her, but she says, no, I'm not going to donate any time to you, you asshole. You just, you know, abducted me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then the mafia, so they're driving through the ghetto in the morning, running from the cops. Then the mafia shows up and they end up blowing out the tires of the car they're driving, and they get in this really big car crash where they're both unconscious. So the Minutemen mafia guys, partially recognize Will from helping the rich guy escape their grasp, and they end up just stealing almost all of the time from Will and this rich girl. And then the cops start showing up. They hear the ambulance or the sirens, so they're not able to kill them essentially by taking all their time. So they have just minutes left, and now the rich girl is like, oh my God, panic, panic, panic. Can I have some of your time? And Will's like, huh, funny, ironic that, you know, whatever. And then Will says, don't need to panic. You know, we've got 30 minutes left. I've been this poor before. We can handle it. So he's in the ghetto. He's running around, and now the police officer is right on his tail, essentially. But they recognize that they have, like, no money. Anyways, Will goes to his friend, who he gave 10 decades to, and we learn that he died by, like, you know, essentially alcohol poisoning. The moment he got the, you know, 10 years, he went immediately to a bar and drank himself to death. So we're learning that just because Will is nice with his money doesn't necessarily mean it's doing a good job. So then they run and they go to a pawn shop. They're racing to the pawn shop because the rich girl has very expensive earrings. The pawn shop recognizes that they have literally 30 seconds to live. So he says, I'll give you 2 days for these diamond earrings, which is a ripoff, but it's a smart negotiation tactic given that, you know, obviously they're about to die. So they both now have 2 days to live. Well, 2 days on their clock. To live is, that's what it is. Anyways, Will's holding the girl hostage still. So he goes to the phone booth and calls the girl's Sylvia. Her name is Sylvia, so I'm going to refer to her as Sylvia. They call Sylvia's dad, the banker. And the Cillian Murphy's character, the cop, is there. And Will already knew this, that he would have been listening to the phone call. So he asks for Cillian Murphy. He says, I want 1,000 years. He's holding a ransom. I want 1,000 years. So he's asking the rich banker to give 1,000 years for his daughter. And then Cillian Murphy says, you can't handle 1,000 years. So Will says, fine, give it to the city. Because there's essentially like a donation center in the city where they give out like seconds of time, you know, like trying to keep people alive kind of thing. But they run out of time like incredibly fast. So Cillian Murphy goes to the banker and he says he's asking for 1,000 years for the daughter. And then the banker is like, fuck, maybe. And then the wife's like, what are you nuts? It's your daughter. You have 1,000 years, like a bunch of thousands of years is, you know, you've got millions of years. So we see Will and Sylvia, the girl, the daughter. They go to Will's old house, and they're bunkered up in their house in the ghetto, learning about each other. And Sylvia quickly learns that, you know, Will's mother died from the time thing, and he was trying to do things greater than time, essentially greater than currency, greater than money. So then they start talking together about how they were talking about their first times they turned 25 and their time started ticking and the different thoughts that went into their head. So, like, Will's thought was, like, the first thing he had to do when he turned 25 was he had to immediately like get a job because he had to help his mom pay all of her loans off. So within the first day, he was already down to just 50 hours. Like he had to pay all the loans off for his mom because that's what you're supposed to do, apparently. So it was cool to hear that. And then Sylvia's point of view was she was sleeping. She woke up from turning 25, looked herself in the mirror, and her first thought was, this is what I'm going to look like for the rest of my life. Because she wasn't worried about death. She was more worried about just being trapped and just being exactly the same forever. You know, nothing's going to change from here on out. She was almost seeing it as like the drop off point. Anyways, they wake up next day and Will's curious to see if, you know, Sylvia's dad gave the donation center 1,000 years. And we noticed that he did not. The donation center is still poor as shit. Sylvia's like, wow, my dad has no faith in me. That's a dick move. Will says, all right, I don't really need you anymore. I was just using you for that. So you can definitely go. I don't care. And then Sylvia says like, well, now hold on. Maybe I want to stay. So then Will's like, okay. They share a makeout. You know, now there's some love interest of some type. Nothing crazy romantic. But then, you know, now they're essentially in it together-ish. Sylvia's on the phone with her father now, essentially saying, you couldn't spare any money. That's like for your daughter, you asshole, you know, dick move. Anyways, the cop shows up and pulls a gun on Will, and Sylvia shoots the cop in the arm. This is Cillian Murphy's character, shoots the cop in the arm. And then we learn that the cops don't really, or at least this specific one, doesn't really have any time. He also lives day to day. He gets time in his car once a day to keep him afloat. So he's essentially working on the clock every day. And if he doesn't work, he's kind of back in the ghetto. So it's very interesting. So then they trap and leave Cillian Murphy in the ghetto town take his cop car, and they drive away together. Cillian Murphy gets hassled by all the ghetto people because, you know, he's the timekeeper. So everyone, like, hassles him, but he gets picked up and gets saved from his other cop friend. Then Will and Sylvia both go, like, all right, how are we going to start over? You know, I don't have any time. You don't have any time, really. We have very little time. How are we going to do this? And so then Sylvia's like, are we really about to steal? And then he says, it's not stealing if it's already been stolen. So he pulls over some guy on the road because they're in a cop car. And he, like, essentially hijacks, like, this prostitute at the back of his car and says, you know, give me all your time. Give me your earrings. So he leaves, you know, he leaves them with a little bit of time to stay alive. But they essentially steal from these people. And note, they're still in the ghetto. So it's kind of hypocritical, but also not at the same time. I don't know how that, you know, because they go up and down from being, like, generous people, and then they go steal from people. So maybe that's just realism. Maybe that's just realism. Anyways, we get a pan of, you know, Will and Sylvia being like, all right, we just stole. We have time now. What's the next step? And, you know, they make out, and they probably, you know, do everything else that you would expect them to do at that point. And then we learn that the banker is, you know, in the stock market, and he essentially controls the stocks and controls how the system works. And we learn that the Cillian Murphy's character comes in and talks to the banker, the Sylvia's dad, and says, Sylvia is now a fugitive. If you communicate with her in any way or help her in any way, you will also become a fugitive, and I will arrest you and or your daughter if I can see you, essentially. So he's saying, if you help your daughter, you're going to get arrested. So then the banker essentially goes, I have infinite money. Infinite currency, infinite time. What is it going to take to pay, you know, all this off and get rid of it? And then Cillian Murphy, as a good non-corrupted cop, says, I don't want your money. Not even you, Mr. Wise, have enough time. I don't want your time. Not even you, Mr. Wise, have enough time to pay me off, which is essentially saying I will never get bribed off because he's got good moral character. So we kind of feel for this cop, but we don't at the same time. It's very strange. So now Will and Sylvia are learning how to shoot guns, and they're you know, falling deeper in love, and they decide, how are we going to corrupt the system? How are we going to make it better? So then we cut to them bulldozing a bank and essentially robbing the bank blind and giving all the money back to the people in the city. And the city just, like, you know, and the police officer, Cillian Murphy, is like, wow, why does he think this is a good idea? This is a bad idea, in my opinion, and I think it's going to, you know, go over poorly. But it's like a montage of, like, you know, Batman essentially saving Gotham. It's a shitty town, but there's hope now, and, you know, they're, like, essentially givers. So they're, like, fake robbing people, and instead of robbing them, they're giving them time instead of taking their time. So there's no one really notices who they are in the ghetto, but the police essentially post all over 10 years for these two convicts, essentially. So their faces are plastered everywhere now, and everyone can see them. We can see the system being a little more corrupted because now the Minutemen, the mafia guys, are getting stood up to now too. And so the mafia guys are like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, I was bribed off by the police officers to keep, as long as I kept stealing time from the people, it was okay. But now that Will is stealing time from, like, the government and from the banks, things are getting out of hand and kind of crazy. So even the mafia guy is like, huh. Then we cut to the banker, Mr. Wise, and his wife, and he's like, why would Sylvia do this to me? I've given her everything she could possibly want. And then the wife's like, you suffocated us. You kept bodyguards circling us the entire time and trapped us in the house. That's no way of life. So then he's like, oh, nah, whatever. I still have a bunch of money. Anyways, yet again, the cops, Cillian Murphy, finds Sylvia and Will in a hotel that they, you know, rented out, obviously. And they have a big chase scene where Cillian Murphy starts shooting at them. So this is the first time where he has intent to kill. They're running. And then we get Will and Sylvia get to the bus, and the bus driver this time sees them and their faces and sees the poster of the 10-year, you know, reward or whatever. And then the bus driver says, these are you guys. And then he says, is it now? And then they bribe the bus driver to set him free. So then they again escape the police officer yet another time, who is chasing them down harder than anyone else. Will keeps believing that the cop, Killian Murphy, he's going to give up, but he just never gives up like everyone else. So there's definitely a deeper feeling for this cop for some reason. He's got a real, you know, something about him. And we did hear him mention something about Will's father. And he said, don't end up like your father. Your father was doing almost identical stuff to this, and he ended up getting killed, and it was for nothing. So apparently the cop knew something of Will's father, and we didn't know anything about Will's father. So it's an interesting thought. Okay, so now that they've escaped Killian Murphy yet again, they go into a new hotel and essentially say, we're going to buy out all the rooms and make it very discreet. This is going to be our hideout, essentially. And as that happens, one guy walks in, and then she says, get out, because the hostess says, get out. We're fully booked, so get out. Then we cut to a scene where the Minutemen round up a bunch of, you know, civilians and go, we are looking for the guy who gave this man and this man and this man. They point to all of them a month of time, because, again, that's a lot of time for the ghetto. So they're essentially threatening all these guys with their lives to give up where Will is. And we don't really know if any of them know where Will is. Somehow, you know, that is. So they go around, they kill a few guys, and then one guy stands up and is like, I want to split the reward. And so he goes, okay, we'll split the reward with you. So then the Minutemen go bust into the hotel room that they had just purchased, and they are able to essentially capture Will and Sylvia. And at gunpoint, holding them, there's like five of them. Well, how many are there? There are four of them, and then Sylvia versus Will. And now the main character, main Minuteman guy, goes up to Will and goes, I'm not one to kill people. I really don't like to do that if I don't have to, and you're sitting here like this, so here's what we're going to do. And this is what I always do. We're going to fight. So fighting in this world has nothing to do with physical fighting. Fighting in this world means that you can fight with your minutes. So it's like you grab each other's wrists, and you essentially have like a strength mental battle of who can take each other's time. It's very uncinematic and very strange to watch, because it's like them essentially just like holding hands and then making weird faces and all that. Now note, Will's dad taught him at a very young age how to fight, quote unquote, and the key of it was to apparently just act like you're losing till you're in your last seconds. And the moment they look at your clock, then you counter, and then you just like trap them and take all their time. So we know that Will has experience fighting. So he's like, all right, sure, I'll fight you. And then Will's like, but what happens if I win? These guys are just going to kill me, and they're going to, you know, it's whatever. And so the mafia guy is like, yeah, probably, whatever. Just do it anyways. I'm going to kill you now if you don't fight me. So they fight, and obviously, as main character powers apply, Will wins the fight and kills the main Minute guy. But right before the main Minute guy dies, he grabs the gun from one of the guards and pops both of them in their heads quickly, and then they're essentially free, just like that. They killed all the Minutemen, and then they escape. I mean, well, there's no reason to escape. They just leave, and they just flee because they made a lot of commotion. But they killed all the Minutemen. So Killian Murphy, our, you know, cop, is like, okay. One of the other cops, not Killian Murphy, questions Killian Murphy and seeing if he's corrupted because, you know, he keeps letting Will get away, essentially. He's not letting Will get away. He's, if anything, he's taking this very seriously, and that's where we learn that he's taking this very seriously. So then, as Will and Sylvia escape, they're fleeing, and they look at the loan rate percentage on the wall of the bank, and it's up to like 47% and rising by the minute, essentially. So Will and Sylvia are like, God damn it, we need to give up. This is ridiculous. Nothing's changing. We're giving all this bank money away to all these people, but the rates are going to keep raising, and it's essentially just inflation, which, again, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, was very cool. Very cool concept. So then they're planning, and they're like, all right, you know what? Let's give up. Meaning not give up, quote unquote, but let's go to my father, who's essentially dealing with all this big man hunt at this point. And let's go to my father, and we need to steal 1 million years and give it back to the ghetto. Because that's the amount of money that would take to essentially break this system. So they somehow, I can't stress, I'll stress this a little further at the end of the movie. This got 37% on purpose, and I'll explain that later. But anyways, the banker, Mr. Wise, is surrounded by like 20 security guards. And the daughter's like, I'll surrender, but I'll only surrender to my daddy. So the guy's like, put all the guns down. And then she's like, you've upgraded your security, daddy. And then he's like, yeah, because of you. And then she's like, well, one too many. And then one of the security guards is Will. Will, our main character. And he puts a gun right to his head. And then he says, tell all of them to drop it and leave us alone. So they all drop their guns. And they are able to, you know, hostage the banker, rich guy, Elon Musk guy, up to his main chambers, into the bank vault, and steal one time card that says 1 million years right on it, like exactly 1 million years on the dot, which is strange. So the banker's like, this is going to do nothing. You dropping a bunch of money is just going to corrupt the system. It's going to implode. Everything's going to be messed up. And he says, why are you doing this? It's worth killing a few people to have immortality. You guys can have immortality. And then Will gets super pissed off and like hits him, but doesn't kill him. And because that's like his whole, you know, thing is no one should die. No one should be immortal. We should like, you know, really break the system. So that's what they're going to do. So Cillian Murphy sees that they, you know, track the million years of time in this car. And they're essentially, he's like freaking out. He's like, if that million years leaves this time zone, we're all fucked, essentially. So he is the only one who's sprinting into his car and, you know, running to the border because they can't let him leave the border. So he ends up rallying a bunch of riot people and essentially put a huge border at the time zone. like of a bunch of SWAT cars, a bunch of cop cars, a bunch of people with semi, like, big friggin' guns and all that stuff. So Will and Sylvia have got the million years in their car. They're driving at full pace directly at the border. And they're getting shot at, but, of course, the car they're in is bulletproof. And, of course, the cars that were parked on the bridge weren't really blocking the barricade, apparently. So he decides to just drive right through the house patrol, which is filled with concrete, and the car is untouched and undamaged. And they drive right through the border and get right into the ghetto. And right as they arrive in the ghetto, Cillian Murphy hits them with their car, but they're in the ghetto. So the little girl he gave the 5 minutes to at the very beginning of the movie essentially takes the million-year pack that he has and gives it to her and says, go to the, you know, the missionary house and go give it to everybody. Go give the million years and distribute it amongst the city. So Cillian Murphy pulls a gun on them, but all of the people in the ghetto essentially attack them and like make chaos because there's a million years at large and everyone's going nuts about it. And now we see that the ghetto has got a bunch of time. So then Sylvia and Will go run to the next time zone because they don't have a car. And we notice that they're both extremely low on time. And we also notice that our cop, Cillian Murphy, is low on time because he doesn't have time to get the money, get the time from the car. Because the car gives him time for his workday, but he didn't have time to get it this time. And he forgot about it because he's so invested in getting these guys stopped. So they meet each other in like the middle of fucking nowhere in between these two time zones. And then we learn that the cop, Cillian Murphy, is from the ghetto. And he's essentially was able to sneak out. And then he's like, Will's like, why would you sneak out and then train to keep people in? Why would you not help people? And he's like, this is a system that needs to stay like this. And this is the only way. And then Will's like, well, we've only got 1 minute. We're kind of screwed. So we're all going to pretty much die. And then as he says that, Cillian Murphy looks down very cinematically and he's got 2 seconds left and then he dies. So then Will and Sylvia are like, well, we have 1 minute, so we're pretty much fucked. Let me give you my minute and maybe you can, like, they're talking back and forth about like, maybe I can give you my minute and you can have enough time to get to some time somewhere. So they're like, who's going to die? Who's going to die? And then Will looks at the cop car and is like, oh, there's time in the cop car. So he goes and runs to the cop car and gets there right before he dies and gets in time, sprints to Sylvia, and we get the same montage of the mom and Sylvia running towards Will for more time. So this time, obviously, main character powers, Will is able to get to Sylvia with 1 second left and gives her some time. They only have 1 day each. And then they joke, there's a lot you can do in 1 day. Because there is, in this movie, there's a shit ton that you can do in 1 day. So then we see that, you know, the banker is, like, given up, essentially. And he's like, well, not the million years is in the wind. This whole system is fucked. So then we cut to the ghetto. And the ghetto is essentially just overpowered everything. They're not working, and they're just running into the new time zones. And no one's stopping them because Cillian Murphy's dead. And the guy in charge gave up, too. He's like, just go home. The system's over. This is essentially ended. So the whole system's corrupted, and we just keep seeing, and we're panning out, and we see that these guys are still wanted. There's still people chasing Will and Sylvia, but they're just robbing bigger and bigger banks, essentially just stealing all money from everywhere and giving it back. So it's like Point Break kind of thing. And then we end the movie. I want to stress the point that at the beginning of this movie, I was extremely excited. And I was like, I remember this movie coming out in 2011, and I was so excited to watch it. Why did this not get more commotion? And for the first 20 minutes, I was really into it. The mom dies. There was a really cool plot. Like, what a cool concept about time being currency and how it dictates everything that everyone does. Like, there's nothing else. It's very similar to this world. We all go live our lives to work to get money, and it's a loop. And if we have the money, how do we sustain the money? Very, very cool concept. I loved it. And as we went further and further in the movie, the writing got a little worse. The acting got a little worse. The CGI got a little worse. And some of the plot turns got some just really, really bad. Like, it's very clear that the writers, when making this, had very set things that were supposed to happen in the timeline. But I think they did a very poor job of getting our main characters from point A to point B. It was just like they essentially were teleporting places and things just happened to fall into place. And the mafia guy was like a complete joke for like 1 second, even though he's this badass for the whole movie. It just ran really cheesily, unfortunately. And just the writing and the just delivery of everything just was such a bummer, because when you see Cillian Murphy in the cool time movie, you get like thoughts of Christopher Nolan with like Batman, and you get Inception ideas. And this idea had the ability to be like that. And I truly believe if Christopher Nolan took on this job, if they even did a reshoot of this movie, and yes, it profited a lot of money. Like I said, $40 million in budget, $170 million at, you know, gross revenue, very impressive. And it was because the time concept was so freaking cool. But boy, did this movie, in my opinion, suck. It flopped. I just almost turned it off and didn't even want to podcast about this one because it was so bad. But I owe it to you guys to tell you about what happened and how it went. But the score, there was tiny moments of something that was good. But in another opinion, I didn't think it was very good. It felt very childish and very unreal, very just not real instrumentalists, it didn't apply to what was going on. There was very long chase scenes that made no sense, and they kept fleeing from the cops that made, like, it made Cillian Murphy's character look stupid, even though he had all this experience and was, I mean, Will was just some rugrat from nowhere, and Sylvia knew nothing and somehow could shoot a guy with a gun from, like, 100 yards away. It was crazy and super illogical, but the concept, again, was super cool, which probably makes sense why it got a 6.5 out of 10 for IMDb, because they really worship the plot concepts. But any hoozles, that's today's episode in time. Very cool concept. Did not get executed well, in my opinion. But please do tune in. I'm really on a big thriller track right now, so I'm going to go ahead and keep doing some thrillers for you guys and hopefully find maybe a good one coming soon for you. But continue to call me, text me, email me, whatever it is, to communicate what movies you want me to go for. And please have a fun day. Keep enjoying yourself and don't run out of time.
He summarizes movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime.